Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the September 20th edition of Raw. Now, we're going to straight into the action. So the night starts off with New Day inside the ring, and let me tell you, that WWE belt looks very good around Big E's waist, and it's a long time coming. Finally, he is the WWE champion, and finally he is getting his chance in the spotlight, and I hope it does last longer than what I'm expecting to last. I'm not gonna say how long I expect it to last, even though I did say it last episode, but I hope it does last longer than that. And let me tell you, Big E and the New Day are just so hyped in this episode of Raw. Like, it was just, they were oozing out the hype, and I felt it through my TV screen. But through all the hype and the cheers and whatnot, the Bloodline ends up coming out, and it turns out that the six-man tag match that we're scheduled to have, Bloodline versus New Day, is the first match of the night, which was a shocker to me because it kind of looked like the main event of the night, but no, it was the opening match. And like I said, I was actually shocked. It just looked like a main event. But as for the match itself, it was actually pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. The New Day and the Usos, they've always seemed, at least to me, they always seem very equal to one another. They seem to have the same movements in the ring. They're both high flyers. They both jump over the top rope. So whenever I see the Usos and the New Day wrestle, I actually kind of get excited because they're actually one of the few tag teams that actually do stuff in the ring, actually get people going, get the crowd going. As for the match itself, Kofi and Jimmy Uso, they start the match, and Kofi, he does a crossbody on Jimmy, and then Roman Reigns, he takes out Kofi Kingston from the bottom rope, and he smashes Kofi to the announce table, then smashes him into the ring post, and then throws him over the announce table. And this shows basically how physical Roman Reigns is, and basically it just showed how much Kofi means nothing to him, because he was just toying with him. He lifted him up like if he was a toy, literally. So Roman Reigns, you know, being that heel character he is, being more vicious than he is by the week, and it almost felt like Roman was kind of like, okay, I'm going to come to Raw just so you can acknowledge me, and I can prove to you that I am the most dominant person in WWE, not just in one brand, just in WWE. So he kind of gave me that persona, that feel that oozed out of him, that he was like, okay, I'll come to Raw, I'll leave SmackDown my territory, whatever. But as the match kept going, Big E and Roman Reigns finally get tagged in, and this got quite the pop from the crowd. The crowd was eating it up, and I'm not gonna lie, it was actually pretty good. They sold it, you know. They slowly walked up to each other, they sized each other up, you know. They made themselves look like giants in the ring, so they were smart about that. So then Big E ends up giving Roman Reigns a few belly to belly suplexes. Let me tell you, this night is, I don't know what it, for some reason it was Big E's night for belly to belly suplexes, because this man delivers so many of those suplexes. And then Xavier Woods, he gives Roman Reigns a super kick, and he almost gets a three count. I actually thought Xavier Woods was going to win it for New Day, but then obviously that's not how it comes up. And then an old-fashioned Lashley ends up coming out, and he spears Big E, and then he basically just goes ape shit on everyone. He gives no fucks. He's just literally pissed off that he lost his belt last week. He's gonna come out and just raise hell, destroy everyone, and that's literally what he did. And then Roman Reigns, he ends up spearing Xavier Woods, and Roman Reigns gets the win. So the Bloodline wins, and obviously, with Lashley still attacking everyone outside the ring, it's clear that Lashley is going to get his rematch soon. I don't know when. Yeah, it should have been Extreme Rules, but I guess they're going to wait it off. But I really hope that rematch does happen, and I hope it happens in some sort of stipulation that will raise up the bar. And also, it's really, really sad that MVP is going to be out of action indefinitely. I mean, as great as Lashley is in the ring, Bobby Lashley's, you know, promo skills aren't really up to par with some of the superstars. So it's gonna be something to see Lashley kind of doing it by himself and trying to actually motivate himself and trying to get better and better, because honestly, MVP was the mouthpiece to Lashley, and Ashley was the monster in the ring for MVP. So I really hope MVP makes a fast recovery and a full recovery, and he gets back to WWE very soon, hopefully before the end of the year. Because Lashley's, oh my god, I just hope, I mean, Lashley, when they did the interview with Lashley last night, the promo with him coming, going into Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville's office, you know, it was one of those promos where he was just shouting, trying to look tough, but it just didn't come out as organic. So we'll see how it goes. And actually, for the six-man tag match, when it ended, Lashley ends up spearing Big E through the barricade. So that was a great way to end that match, or that segment. Next, we have Eva Marie versus Doudrop. And this is the problem with WWE now, and this is why people are walking out, or people not buying tickets, or people just not tuning in general. This WWE is just making repetitive matches. We have seen Eva Marie versus Doudrop for almost, it feels like a month or two, and it's the same thing. I mean, I get it, this is their storyline, but damn, it's like the same thing every week. Eva does something to Doudrop, or Doudrop is attacks Eva Marie behind. I feel like they could just do something new. They could, I don't know, Doudrop can put Eva Marie through a table, or smash a chair on her, you know, kind of make it a little more like aggressive, more like, oh damn, like these girls don't like each other, you know, make it more of a personal thing instead of more of like what it seems to be, more of like a jealousy thing from Eva Marie's part, that Eva Marie is supposed to be the bigger person, but then everyone likes Doudrop and stuff like that. And I'll be honest, Doudrop has grown on me lately. I don't know, I've just been looking at her and she has grown on me. So I guess, you know, there is that progress for me, is the opposite for Eva Marie. Eva Marie has not grown on me. Eva Marie has not even grown on the entire WWE universe. I mean, she is just awful in the ring, and her promo skills are awful. It just seems like she's just always trying to remember what to say. It's like she needs some promo school or something. So it's just one of these storylines where it's just, why don't you just put Eva Marie versus someone else? Doudrop comes in and attacks her and then raises hell, or the opposite. They kind of keep him off the ring, kind of keep it backstage with segments, and then boom. As for the Eva Marie and Doudrop match, I mean, the match itself was a squash of a match. I mean, it shouldn't even be a match. I mean, all Doudrop did, to be honest, really was just do her like little splash finisher, and that's it. Doudrop wins the match. I mean, I hope they move on from this. And like I said, they could put Doudrop against Nikki A.S.H. or something. As for Eva, they just have to find something else for her to do. Maybe she should just be a manager or something. Hell, she should be a manager for maybe Natalya and Tamina. That could be something for her. And then we move on to Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. And this is actually a match I was looking forward to personally. I'm a big fan of both of them, so I was very interested to see what they were going to put out. And let me tell you, they put on a hell of a match. As for the match, Randy, he got AJ in a headlock at the start of the match. And as the match progressed, I kept wondering, okay, how long would it be before AJ Styles is in the run for another WWE championship match? Because it's been a while. It's been, what, 2 years, 3 years since he's been WWE champion. And it's kind of wearing on me that AJ Styles, all due respect to Almost, and so I just feel like AJ Styles just deserves more than Almost, and this tag team division thing, AJ Styles deserves to be up there with a contender for Big E, and I don't know what are they doing. As for the match, as they continue, Almost ends up getting banned from ringside, and then you see Riddle, he's just mocking Almost with the hey hey goodbye chant, and then Almost ends up knocking out Riddle. And I'm not gonna lie, when he uppercut Riddle and he sent him flying to the barricade, I laughed because Riddle sold that spot so well. I laughed, I don't know why, just the way Riddle got knocked out and he just landed, he just sold it, and I loved it so much. As the match kept going, AJ, he went face first to the turnbuckle as Randy Orton dodged one of AJ's that was spears. And I'm telling you, this match turned into a great match. It was, like the crowd said, this is awesome. This was actually a great match, great physical encounter, great moves, great drama. And then AJ, he does a beautiful moonsault off the ropes. I mean, it was a perfect moonsault. And then the funny part of the match is AJ Styles was going to go for his Superman punch. I forgot the name of it. Wow. Brain fart. So he was going for his Superman punch, and then Randy was going to jump up and RKO him, but he juked him. And then AJ just pointed at him. I was like, oh, you didn't get me. So then Randy ends up giving AJ an actual RKO and gets the win. And like I said, an actual great match. And Randy Orton is on a roll lately, whether it be in singles competition, tag team competition, promos, anything. This man has been on a roll this year, and I'm so happy to see that for him. Next, we move on to what I thought was long overdue, to be honest. Nia Jax versus Shayna Baszler. I mean, finally, we got them against each other. It's about damn time. It was a long time coming. Should have happened months ago, but here we are. But the match itself, it kind of started off with some like soap opera type of thing. They were just talking and they were saying like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. You're here because of me, you know, stuff like that. And it was almost funny to me because it just kept going back and forth. Nia put Shayna Baszler into the Samoan drop and just dropped her down. And it just kept telling her that that's how easy it is. And then Shayna answers to her with her own kicks to her legs and stuff. And then Shayna was very silent in this match. She was more focused on just like kind of beating her instead of Nia. Nia just was kind of focused on being dominant, being the loud mouth. So it was quite the dynamic there. As for the match, as the match kept going though, I mean, Shayna Baszler gave Nia Jax some vicious ass kicks to the legs, to the face. It was pretty gnarly. And then Shayna ends up choking out Nia Jax. I mean, it was a fast match, really. It was like the soap opera talking, kicks, Samoan, a fake Samoan drop, and Shayna giving her the kicks, and then Shayna basically just choking her up. It was probably one of the fastest match of the night. And it kind of felt like there was barely any substance there in a way, which I know we were trying to put in substance there in the sense of the trash talking, but something wasn't there as much as there should be, because there is history between them. There should be more substance there in the sense of they've been messing up each other's tag team matches or each other's singles matches. There should have been more like an oof to it instead of just talking and saying like, you're here because of me. But at least after the match, Shayna Baszler ends up attacking Nia, and basically Shayna beats the hell out of Nia Jax. Shayna ends up stomping Nia's left arm on the steel steps, and it kind of seems like they're trying to make Nia Jax into a babyface, because I'm pretty sure she's going to be off TV for a few weeks or a week at least, and she's gonna come back, and now Shayna Baszler is gonna be the heel and Nia Jax as a babyface. If that is the case, I think that's the wrong thing to do, because Nia Jax does not work as a babyface. Nia Jax should always be a heel. Shayna Baszler, even though she is great as a heel, in this particular storyline, Shayna Baszler should be the babyface. Why? Because why not? And let's be real, mostly everyone just doesn't like Nia Jax, but Shayna Baszler as a babyface, because she has so much built up anger. She kept telling Nia Jax so much stuff about like winning matches, of like what not to do, what to do, what to do. And then Nia Jax was so ignorant that she ignored her every single time. And then she was looking at the results. So Nia Jax would be that ignorant, you know, in your face babyface. Shayna Baszler would be the more grounded, down to earth type of, I mean, Nia Jax as a heel, sorry. And then Shayna would be the down to earth, grounded babyface. And I wonder how far they really are going to take this storyline, because like I said, this match should have happened months ago, and when it finally did happen last night, it was just not what I was expecting, but it is what it is. Next, we're going to move on to Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali. Mansoor and Mustafa Ali versus Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Which, I'll be honest, I totally forgot about Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. I mean, I haven't seen them on TV for months, and I totally forgot they existed. I totally forgot how actually great they are in the ring. And if it came down to it, I'm pretty sure that Angel and Humberto are gonna be a cool tag team. I mean, they're cousins in real life. They know each other. They have that, you know, lucha libre style wrestling. So it's gonna be quite the tag team when they feed off each other. And as the match went on, I was looking at all four of these men. Like, let's say all four of these men weren't in a tag team, I'm pretty sure that if they were let them, they could do a fatal four match, and I think it would be a great match. The amount of high maneuvers that will come out here from them would be great. I'm pretty sure it will probably steal the show, but that's just a little fantasy of mine. We all know it's not ever going to happen. As for the match itself, the match was fairly quickly. Nothing really happened. Humberto, he did a submission on Mustafa Ali, and then Angel Garza comes in. He stomps on Ali, and Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo get the win. And this was another squash match of the night. This was just to show off Humberto and Angel's new tag team and to see how they work and stuff. And quite frankly, I do find some potential there. Hopefully they don't do them wrong, like if they've been doing a lot of tag teams. But there is a lot of potential in Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Hey, who knows, they can even become tag team champions. So I was actually quite impressed with what turned out. Then we have Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. versus Tamina and Natalya for the Raw Women's Tag Team Championship. And okay, I spoke too soon during this match. I was literally just like thinking, I was like, okay, I'm surprised that they've kept Tamina and Natalya as tag team champions for this long, because they just don't really do anything to defend the title. They don't even do any promos. You know, they've been like a low-key type of tag team, like women's tag team champion, which I don't really understand why. They got the talent. I mean, they got the blood. Hell, they have, I mean, come on, their fathers are legends. I don't know why they were keeping them as low-key tag team champions. But as for the match goes, before the match even started, Rhea Ripley and Nikki came out to discuss on Conor the Crusher's fundraiser, and it was actually quite touching seeing Rhea Ripley kind of break character and tear up a bit when she's talking about pediatric cancer and all the money they've raised to help the children with pediatric cancer. And it was a really touching moment, actually. I'm not gonna lie, I actually felt for her. It felt real, you know. It felt real. So it was one of those nice WWE moments that, you know, you don't expect to see, but you do get. So yeah, it was just touching to see Rhea Ripley kind of get emotional about the Conor fundraiser, and I really hope that one day we do find a cure for pediatric cancer, because that will save the world at this point, and we need that kind of faith to understand. I mean, not to understand, to just keep going and pushing. So I hope one day we do find a cure. So as for the match, Tamina, she goes for a splash, but then Nikki ASA, she puts her knees up, and then Nikki does a small package to Natalya, and Nikki ASH and Rhea Ripley win the match, and Nikki and Rhea are the new tag team champions. And like, this is what I mean when I say I spoke too soon, because I was like, okay, Tamina and Natalya have been champions for a long time now, and then boom, they end up losing it to Nikki and Rhea. And I mean, let's be real, this was coming. Nikki and Rhea, they're trying to push them as the new big women's tag team, and it wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, it's nice to see hard workers get rewarded, as much as, you know, the whole Nikki A's almost a superhero gimmick isn't really working for me. Hey, she's putting in her work and she's doing the best she can, so I gotta respect that. So hard workers, you know, they get rewarded. And I'm still not convinced on Nikki's new character, but it is what it is. As for Rhea Ripley, I'm still kind of bummed that they are putting her into a tag team division match instead of a like singles push with for the women's championship. Personally, as much as I love Alexa Bliss, I just feel like Rhea Ripley deserves it more than Alexa Bliss. And that's it for that one. Next, we move on to Alexa's Playground, featuring Charlotte Flair. And, you know, this was a typical Alexa's Playground. You know, Alexa just teases Charlotte Flair about winning the belt or what she did to Charlie, whatnot. And the irony is that the news came out that during the segment, people were leaving the arena. And that is insane to hear that someone is leaving a WWE arena while the show is in its last hour. That is insanity. I have never thought I would hear that. So it wasn't bad in the sense of like Alexa did her best. Like always, Alexa does her best to do her character, Charlotte Flair, you know, being ignorant, the champion. But I do understand there was something lacking. There was maybe it just kind of ran. It dragged on. It wasn't really much to say. It was kind of like they were just trying to. It kind of felt like they just put it together in the last 5 minutes and that's it. They needed like a show filler. So I can understand why, but it's a shocker to me how they. And the report says that around 1,500 people left the arena. Imagine there was 8,000 people in the arena, and 1,500 left. So that's a pretty big chunk of people leaving at 10 p.m. But I mean, hopefully they don't mess up next time with Alexa's Playground. And I'm actually looking forward to Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair this Sunday at Extreme Rules. Next, we have Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. And when I first saw the match, I was like, oh my God, another squash match for Jeff Hardy. Why are they doing this to Jeff Hardy? Like, it hurts me at this point to see Jeff Hardy like that. But as the match went on, Sheamus, he overpowered Jeff. And then I wonder, again, there was like me thinking before it happens. I was wondering, okay, when is Sheamus gonna get rid of the damn mask? I mean, it's kind of just old now. And then he just randomly takes it off during the match. I'm like, okay, never mind. He actually took off the mask. And is he over the mask? Hopefully, because the mask, I mean, at this point, it's kind of old. Like, your nose is not broken yet. That was when you were fighting with McIntyre. You're not fighting with McIntyre anymore. You were with Damian Priest. That's it. So then Jeff gives Sheamus a twist of faith. And then Jeff does a swanton, but Sheamus puts his knees up. And then Jeff rolls over Sheamus and actually gets the win. Like, he actually got the win. And this was, and I'm not going to lie, there's an actually good match from Jeff Hardy. He looked great in the match. I don't know what sparked inside of him, but he looked great in this match. Before, he kept looking kind of winded, kind of slow, kind of like, oh man, like, I have to like do this, do that. But in this match, he was, you know, he looked fired up. He looked healthy. And I'm so happy that Jeff Hardy actually got the win after, I don't know, a losing streak. And now he gets added into the triple threat match at Extreme Rules for the United States Championship. So now it's going to be Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy. And that is great. That is great. I am so happy that Jeff Hardy is getting an opportunity to grow and be more and more, because he definitely deserves what he's getting right now. And I hope, and to be honest, if he does win it as this Sunday, that'll be even better. If he wins, even though it'll be kind of bittersweet, because I do want Damian Priest to continue to be champion, but we'll see how that goes. So then we move on to the main event of the match of the night. Sorry, we have Big E versus Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns. And let me tell you, on paper, this is like a pay-per-view type of main event. You know, other people would say a WrestleMania type of main event, which that tagline is almost getting too repetitive. It's like every time there's two big wrestlers wrestling on Raw or SmackDown, it's like, you know, a WrestleMania main event. But it is what it is. as the match started, Lashley and Big E just got right into it. Both of them just started wrestling. Roman Reigns just looking at them, kind of waiting for his chance to go in and attack. And then Big E, he does a double slam on Lashley and Roman. And then Lashley tackles both Roman and Big E in either corner. Big E, he like I said, he came packing with that belly-to-belly suplex. He did belly-to-belly suplexes to Lashley, and then he did it to Roman, and then he repeated it almost like two times. This man loves belly-to-belly suplexes. And then Lashley ends up slamming Big E through the announce table. Roman then caught Lashley with a Superman punch. Big E does a big ending on Roman, which I thought he was going to get the win, but he didn't. And then Lashley, he breaks the count with a chair shot to Big E's back. And obviously, being a triple threat match, there's no disqualification, so it's all legal. And then Roman, he spears Lashley for the win. I just think Roman Reigns winning this triple threat match is kind of like, okay, like, why? I get it, I guess. Like I said earlier, he wants to be the dominant one. He wants you to acknowledge him. He wants to be the biggest person, the biggest man in WWE. But I feel like the win should have gone to Lashley. It just, Roman Reigns winning just does nothing, really. It's just like, okay, like this Universal Champion won the match, but what about Lashley and Big E? I think Lashley should have pinned Big E with the help of Roman Reigns, in the sense of Roman Reigns was a spill Big E. Then Lashley just throws Roman out or whatever he will do. And then Lashley would cover Big E, and no further storyline, because he can brag about it next week how he beat Big E 1-2-3, and that's why he deserves his rematch. And obviously it will just keep going. That's how it should have ended, and that's how I would have wanted it to end. But like I said, Roman Reigns is their biggest thing right now, their biggest heel, the biggest superstar right now. So I guess you gotta make him happy, whatever you gotta do. As for my highlights of the night, clearly Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. And I'll be honest, Big E versus Lashley versus Roman Reigns, it was actually a decent match. Both of these matches were, you know, they had action, they had drama, they had, you know, they have pretty cool spots. So kudos to WWE for actually producing some good matches for this Monday. As for my rating of this show, I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10. I gave it a 8 out of 10 when the show started, but then I thought about it, I was like, no, 7 out of 10. The thing that just bummed me out was just the Alexa's Playground and the Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. They could have done more with that one, and especially Eva Marie and Doudrop. It's just one of those things that they should just cancel, but it is what it is. And overall, yeah, so I'm getting a 7 out of 10. It was a fairly decent episode of Raw. Some storylines were further, some were kind of stalled. There's maybe some started. So I'm excited to see Extreme Rules this Sunday and to see what's gonna happen, who's gonna win, who's gonna lose. Might be some sort of surprise. So we're gonna have to wait and see until this Sunday. That will do it for this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.